Morning all. Some people on holiday, yeah, at school holidays, is that right? Who's going away this coming week? Anyone going? Yeah, there's a few people. Woo. Hopefully there's some good weather. Yeah, I look forward to hearing about the adventures. Pass them around so we can be jealous of your holidays and what you're up to. Who was here last week? Anyone here? A few of you? Yeah, so last week we started our series on salt and light, which is a chance to kind of spend some time with a few people who are being salt and light, different places, different ways. Last week we were in the Middle East for a little bit, then we jumped across to Bangladesh. I found it quite encouraging just hearing how God is using different people in different places, you know, kind of keeps the vision big. You know, sometimes you can get caught up in what you're doing and what's happening here. It's like, wow, God's put people here, put people there. So we're continuing that today. But we're going to spend a lot more time in New Zealand today with a little bit of a jump across to India for a short period of time, then back to New Zealand. And we're going to spend time with some people who also are being salt and light in different places in different ways, which will be great. So the series is a chance to, I suppose, be encouraged by what God is doing in other places. It's also maybe a chance to encourage these people, to support them in what they're doing. But it's also a chance to self-reflect and kind of go, you know, Lord, you know, where are you wanting me to be at work? You know, what is the tasks that you are calling me into? And that can take many forms, can't it? Like, maybe it's the beginning of a new season where the Lord is starting to mobilize you into some intentional mission in New Zealand or overseas. I mean, it starts somewhere, doesn't it? You know, when God starts to mobilize someone's heart, it often starts with a mustard seed. And then you look back a few years later and it's turned into a tree. And so maybe that's what's going on. It's starting to trigger for you. Actually, it's a season to start thinking about mission. Maybe it's actually just a chance to actually become aware that actually where you are at the moment is your mission field. You know, you don't need to go anywhere. Maybe it's actually the awakening of a bit of courage and passion to actually start being salt and light exactly where you are. You know, is it a time to bring the light from out from underneath the bowl? Is it time to start sharing Jesus, the good news of Jesus, with the relationships that are already around you? I don't know. It will be different for all of us, won't it? We're not all called to the same thing. We're not all meant to be doing the same work, but together we are working together. Does that make sense? And I don't know. Is it a time for you to encourage others, you know, to spur others on? You're seeing that a light has begun in someone's life. You're seeing the light in their heart, and it's time to stoke that fire so that they can burn more brightly. Or maybe it's a chance for no change. It's actually you're doing exactly what God has been asking you to do. You should keep doing it and keep doing it. Because that's the other risk, isn't it? When you start hearing stories about what other people are doing, the temptation is to think, oh man, I should be doing that. Or, oh man, that's for me. When actually, maybe you're doing the right thing. You're in the right place. You're being faithful to what God has asked you. And it's actually just, yeah, I'm going to keep doing that. Does that make sense? Yeah, I found it really encouraging once there's a scripture in the beginning of Acts. And there's this point where the Greek and widows were missing out on food. And they came to the apostles and said, oh, the Greek and widows are missing out on food. And the apostles at this point kind of reflected and they said, look, it's not for us to be doing that. You know, we're called to the ministry of word and prayer. But let's find 7 people filled with the Holy Spirit to do that task. And so in that moment, they're like, this task is so important. We have to find 7 people filled with the Holy Spirit to actually do this task. But at the same time, they recognize it was not for them to do. You know, their ability to say no came from knowing what God had asked them to do. And so it's really, really important that actually when lots of good things are happening, especially when we have a series like this, it's like, man, that's cool, that's cool, that's cool. We also recognize, no, but this is where God wants me. And so it's all valid. And so my prayer is, what is the Holy Spirit kind of saying to you? Keep going with what you're already doing. Actually, no, this needs to be an awakening of courage. You need to speak up. Maybe it's a change of season, stepping into something new. I'm not sure what it is, but I pray that the Lord brings that to pass as we journey together as a community through this series. So today, in a moment, we're gonna watch another video from Aratahi, which will be awesome. We're going to interview someone from Athletes in Action, but very, very soon we're going to interview one of our own from TBC, and I'll bring him up in a second. But first, let's reflect on one scripture, and then we'll do it. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And I said, here am I, send me. So this is the Lord speaking to Isaiah, mobilizing him into what he was called to do. So I suppose many people over the years have found the scripture encouraging. And I suppose the question is, are you listening to what the Lord's saying? You know, and sometimes that's not just a once-off thing. It's like, what's he saying to you this week, this month? Are you listening? Are you willing? Send me, Lord. Will you do whatever he asks you to do? There's so many scriptures that kind of call us to attention on this. You know, Jesus said, anyone who will come after me must pick up their cross daily and follow me. And if you want to save your life, you will lose it. But if you lose your life, you'll save it. And that has challenged me over the years. You know, it says daily. In one of the Gospels, it said, pick up your cross daily. You stay dead to your life, your dreams, your visions, because you are filled with the resurrection power and you are serving him, doing his will in all of your life. Are you willing? What's he got for you at the moment? Keep going, change your season, awakening of courage, I don't know. But we're going to spend some time, first of all, with one of our own. Let's give a really, really warm welcome for Joe Ayres.
Morning, everybody. Is this on?
Yeah, it is. It's right. Good. I can hear you loud and clear.
Yes, loud and clear.
Thank you. I got some instructions the other week. Hold it like an ice cream. Not down there. So we'll hold it like an ice cream and then everyone will hear us.
Yeah.
So I've only very recently got to know you, but I remember sitting around a dinner table and just hearing you share a little bit. And your passion and love for Jesus was just so obvious that I just had to spend some more time with you and catch up with you and hear your heart. So I suppose I've got so many questions, but how long have you been in the whole Titirangi area? Like possibly a little bit longer than me.
Well, I started in the Titirangi area in Kalini Road in 1957. That's where I built my first house. I'm currently living across the road, about 200 metres away. Purely by chance, you might say.
It's only 65, 68 years.
Yes, but in the meantime, I've lived and worked in Australia and in Malaysia, and then come back here.
Okay. Were you born in New Zealand? Have you moved into New Zealand at some point along the way? You sound like a bit of a traveller.
Yes, I was a traveller by default because my father was in the regular army in England and we travelled wherever he was posted. So I spent about the first 5 years of my life in India and then came back to the war in England and travelled all around England in various camps and various schools. So I ended up in five or six primary schools and three high schools and a bit of evacuation in the middle.
When you're saying you came back for the war, are you referring to World War II?
That's right, yes, yes. Okay. World War II.
I learnt about that in history class. And I had to memorise the dates, and it was like 1939 it began and 1945 it finished.
That's right, yes.
So you're living history.
Yes, yes. I was living in London, South London, during the Blitz time, so...
Wow.
I was aware of what war was like, yes.
Okay. Yeah, there's no laughing matter there. You've actually lived through and experienced the very brutal reality.
My father was in the regular army, so unfortunately he didn't live through the experience. He died in North Africa.
I'm so sorry. That is also news to me. Thank you for sharing that. So you have a very real perspective on some of the conflicts and challenges in the world, and even some of the ones happening at the moment, that probably takes on different meaning for you than it would for me or some of us.
Yes. Well, one thing's evident, of course, is that we never learn from our mistakes, do we? And so the wars go on, and it makes me weep.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't relate because I have not experienced it. So it's this thing that sitting and talking with you is actually quite helpful to hear your empathy and perspective on that, because you've been face to face with that. Yeah.
Yep.
And that's probably something we could talk about at some point. But I'm gonna jump to another question, not to bypass it, just because I know where we're heading with some of the stories that we wanted to reflect on.
Well, when you've lived as long as I have, there's a lot of stories to tell, of course.
You could probably write a book, or have you written a book?
No.
No, not yet, no. So you're born in the UK, you had a lot of exposure to the military environment, and somehow you ended up in New Zealand. Was that in 1957 when you ended up in New Zealand?
I came to New Zealand in 56, actually,
okay.
From Singapore. I was in the Air Force in Singapore for 2 years.
Yeah.
And since I was halfway to New Zealand and my brother had already emigrated here, I thought I'd get demobbed locally in Singapore and come to New Zealand to see what it was like. So that's how I ended up here.
Wow.
So my mother kept waiting for me to go home.
Wow, that's huge, yeah. And to, when you've got family in different parts of the world and to start building a new life, it's actually quite an enormous journey.
Yes.
Have you, through all of that period of travel and change, known Jesus?
I didn't know Jesus until I came to New Zealand.
Wow.
My parents were strong Christians, but we never settled in a church anywhere because we were always moving. So all I learned was Christian ethics, I guess, by example, from my parents. So I knew nothing about Jesus. I just knew that there was a God and that I knew what was right and wrong, and woe betide me if I went wrong.
I quite like that. So you learned about Christian ethics and values, but it hadn't taken on personal meaning in terms of...
No, not at all, not remotely.
So what changed? Like, and so you arrived in New Zealand not having a faith? Would you use those words?
Yes, that's true.
Yeah?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. It's a long story. You don't know where to start, really. But I came to New Zealand, and I had, in my course of my experiences, I'd married a Chinese girl that I'd met in Penang in Malaysia. So I came to New Zealand with a Chinese wife.
Okay.
And that's another long story, of course. But when we came to build in Kahini Road, somebody knocked on our front door while I was at work, actually, and Teresa was at home with our first baby. Two ladies came to the door and said, "We've been asked to come and see you to see if you need a hand with anything." And the house was just finished and we were just moving in. And they arrived because somebody we had met in Mount Albert, who used to be a member of Mount Albert Baptist, but they didn't know it at the time, he used to come and knock on our door selling or looking for donations to the British and Foreign Bible Society.
Okay.
So he was a very friendly old chap. Well, I say old chap, he was probably about 60.
Quite youthful, really.
Yeah. And he had asked these two ladies that lived in Glen Eden to come and see us. And that was the start of a long and very fruitful friendship. These two ladies knocked on our door and eventually invited us to morning tea one day, and then to Sunday lunch.
Okay.
They never mentioned Christianity at all. They just came to see if we were comfortable. We had no friends. They told us what was going on in the district and so on. They just befriended us. And that friendship developed into a very deep and meaningful friendship, which lasted, well, it still lasts today. The lady is still alive today, and she's a year older than I am.
That's fantastic.
Yes.
So do you attribute that moment, that knock on the door, the relationship that came from that, as the beginning of your faith journey?
Yes, that's the beginning of my faith journey. As our friendship developed with this lady and her husband and their small family, they invited us, first of all, to weekends away. They had a boat. Then we went for a week's holiday with them, camping. They introduced us to the New Zealand way of life, actually. Mm. They never mentioned Christianity, not for 2 years. And then eventually, the husband said to me one day, we've got what we call a mission running on at the church. This was Glen Eden Baptist, they were members. Mm. It was a mission called Faith Through Fact. And it was a series of old-fashioned slideshows and somebody speaking about the glory of God and his creation. Mm. And that spoke to both my wife and myself. At the end of that four-day mission, which we went to every night, we found ourselves answering an altar call without any previous discussion, without any motivation at all. We both stood up, went forward, and looked at each other in surprise, you know. And that was the start of our Christian journey. We got baptized immediately afterwards, and we joined separate Bible study groups, which introduced us to the whole story of Christ and what his redeeming work was.
Wow.
It was just like a light going on for us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So would you say that these people who knocked on your door were being salt and light to you over that two-year period? And would you see that as a living example of someone being salt and light?
Well, obviously, I know speaking to Marjorie later, the lady that came visiting, I said, what did you feel about that? And she said, I was terrified. Mm. Mm. She thought, how can I go and see these perfect strangers and just butt into their lives, you know? But in actual fact, they were so welcome. They were such lovely people. It all went very, very smoothly. Mm. But she was in fear and trembling of answering that call.
Yeah.
But it turned out to be a tremendous blessing to both of us, more blessing than we could have ever imagined. That lady had a son. And eventually, when we were living in Malaysia, my daughter was sent to New Zealand to finish her sixth form studies before university. And we spoke to Marjorie and said, can you look after her while she's studying? She did. She ended up marrying the son. It gets even worse than that, actually, or better, I should say. Because the son had a friend who was a bit of a wild chap, but he was going to Bible college. And they used to meet at Marjorie's house. And this boy, who was a great friend of Craig's, she became friendly with my daughter's sister. And they ended up getting married too. So our families became inevitably very, very deeply entwined.
Wow. That gives one example of the impact of that knock on the door. I mean, it's what? How many years ago? 65 years ago? How else would you describe the ripple effect of that moment and you come into faith in Jesus if you look back over the last 60 years?
Well, I guess the very obvious ripples went on for about 20 years until they all got married. And it's continued ever since. We're still a very close family, good friends. Mm. Of course, in the meantime, people get old and die, so the scene changes. But, I mean, that has been a blessing to me the whole of my life. And it's been obvious to me, looking back, that the Lord's had his finger on me since I was born. Mm. He kept me in a family that kept me true to God, finally introduced me to the Lord, and has continued to bless me. It's not to say life has always been sweetness and roses. I've had plenty of tragedies in my life to endure, but I've been able to endure them because the Lord has been with me.
Praise the Lord for your testimony and your journey and your willingness to share that. What's just standing out to me is just the ripple effect of one decision and how it just over the decades has impacted so many people. And I find that so encouraging, because often you take a step in fear and trembling and you don't quite know what will come from that. And it's just such an encouragement to say, cross that threshold of anxiety or fear and do what God's asking you to do.
We shared a verse, didn't we, when we were chatting about this, Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Mm. It's been my guiding light. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct your paths. And I've lived by that faithfully, and it's never gone wrong.
I love that scripture as well. Yeah. Is there any kind of closing things that you might want to say to everyone else here around to encourage them in their faith walks at this point? You know, what would be words of encouragement for people here who are going, oh, where do I go? How do I do this? How do I cross those little moments of fear and actually be faithful in this?
Well, I think you all everybody needs encouragement. And I think while Sunday services are very rewarding and informative, I think it's good to join a home group. It's good to be in a bunch of people that you learn to live with. I look around and see some of my old home group here, people that I love and respect, you know, and you can walk with them. But you need that, you need the whānau around you, you know. And you can support each other in times of stress and trouble, which we all get, you can't avoid it. Mm. But just wake up every morning and trust the Lord to lead you.
Yeah. Praise the Lord. I could spend all day sitting around a dinner table hearing your wisdoms and encouragements. I find it, so edifying. Would you feel like praying for our community today?
Shall I pray
for you? Yeah. Shall we pray for our community?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Father God, I just thank you for TBC. I thank you for the people that I know and love, and I thank you for the people that I don't know, yet you love, and that we all love as Christian brothers and sisters. Lord, I just pray that you'd give them strength to endure the hardships and the problems and the stresses and strains that life brings every day. And you know, Lord, that none of us can escape from that. But we can trust in you, Lord. And I thank you that every day your Holy Spirit is there to walk us through the trials and troubles and to help us rejoice in the good times. So I just pray, Lord, that you'd bless us as we seek to honor you in all that we say and do. I just remember your verse, Lord, that they that honor you, you will honor. So I just lean upon that too, Father, and give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for blessing us with your time and some of your story, and look forward to more conversations.
Okay, thank you, Ben. Oh.
So encouraging. The impact of someone being salt and light and seeing the ripple effect can't be ignored. Apart from all the wisdoms and encouragements that have been poured out and come ever since. So praise the Lord for that, hey? Bring on more of that, in terms of everything we're doing. Next generation, passing on the seed, mustard seeds that become trees. Let's do it. But before we go any further with that, we have the blessing of having another look at an Aratahi video from the Baptist Mission Society, sorry. So that won't be live streamed, so we're going to pause the live streaming for 5 minutes while that video is shown, and then afterwards the live streaming will recommence.
Let's pray. O Lord our God, how majestic is your name in all the earth. We see a rainbow through the storm and remember your promises. We look at creation in all its beauty, power and intricacy, the night sky, and the stars, and we know that you are the Creator God and that creation sings its praise to you. And we see ourselves, people, created in God's image, but marred by sin. Thank you that you sent Jesus to remove our sin when we turn to you and that you give us your Holy Spirit to dwell in our hearts, giving peace, joy, purpose and hope, and allowing us to call you Abba Father. We are privileged and loved. O Lord our God, how majestic is your name in all the earth. We turn our thoughts and prayers to what we have just seen and heard this morning. We thank you for those who have heard God's call to leave home comforts and go and live and work in a different land and among people of a different culture. Specifically, we pray for those in pastor training that they may know the heart of God in their calling and have sufficient resources and time to flourish. We pray for those meeting together that the Holy Spirit may be real for them. We pray for places of learning to be captured by the heart of God and for new fellowships to be supported well. And we pray for individuals working in the communities that there would be comfort, support and care and transformed lives. We pray too for the missionaries that we service in our community. We pray for Matt and Crystal and their family in the Philippines for their language learning, for friends to be around them and for their support. And we pray for Kim Beale and Soccer Plus Ministry. In the quiet, offer your own prayer for people you know who are serving overseas. We pray also for our broken, hurting world. It can feel overwhelming when we look at the world stage, but we have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power and love and self-control. We remember that all powers, rulers and authorities come under God's authority and hand. Thank you, Lord. And so we pray for the peace of God to envelop areas of war and conflict. We pray for the spirit of reconciliation and wisdom to take root in leaders' hearts and minds. And we pray for protection, for provision and for safety for innocent victims caught up and misplaced by conflict. And closer to home, we pray for wisdom and an awakening to God's Spirit for our own country's leaders. We pray for areas hard hit by recent storms and for good support and managing ongoing care. And we pray for rest and safety and recreation during the school holiday season for the teachers and caregivers in our midst. We pray also for the strengthening of families and communities, remembering Green Bay High School, the outreach of Maney Music, Weekly Grind, Evergreens, and remembering our own staff team who work tirelessly among us, Tor and Kath, Angela, Karen, Melissa and Leanne, and numerous volunteers. We pray too for Ben and his family, our interim pastor. We thank you for his heart for ministry, his heart for pastoral care, and his wisdom. And we pray for the search team as they prayerfully seek to discern God's leading for a new senior pastor for us. And for each of us here, Lord, help us to speak that word of encouragement. Help us to reach out that hand of friendship, to be that supportive shoulder, and to listen for your Spirit's quiet voice in life's busyness. Amen.
So good to pray. Thanks, Jill, for leading us in that time. We are going to be zoning in on some New Zealand-focused mission at the moment. We're going to be interviewing Keegan from Athletes in Action, which I'm really looking forward to. So let's give him a very warm welcome.
Thanks for having me. It's a privilege to be here.
Welcome to the stage. So good to see you, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think...
I like it.
If I recall correctly, we first met down in Timaru a number of years back.
Yeah.
And when I was travelling around with my family. Is that your hometown? Am I right with that?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, from Timaru.
Okay. But you've been living in Auckland for a little while now?
Yeah, I moved up here on the 27th of May 2017.
2017. Okay, so about 8 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Correct. Oh, awesome. Well, I've got so many questions for you, and I'm very interested in what you're up to, but we'll start with the important questions. How long did it take to grow that beard?
Oh, someone over here is itching to hear. So this is like a COVID beard. You know, some people grew bowl cuts and had skullets and stuff, and I decided to grow a beard but never removed it. I was saying I'll have it till we're at level zero, and then we moved to the traffic light system, and then I just kept it. Yeah, it's had trims and stuff, and I do style this, of course.
I am most impressed, slightly inspired. So,
I will encourage your wife to let you do it.
There's some people from my family shaking their heads rapidly.
Luscious by Lambert, by the way. That's the moustache wax brand.
Yeah. Oh, so you wax it?
Yeah.
Is that how you get the kind of vibe going down?
I even dyed it.
Okay. Yeah. Do you have to shampoo and condition it? Like,
you can. Okay. Beard balm. I think it's better than oil.
Are you serious? There is a thing called beard balm.
Yeah, yes.
Okay. Anyone else know that? I did not know that. Someone's nodding.
Yeah.
That's cool. Okay, so here's some more really important questions. Like, are you a morning person or an evening person?
Definitely evening, but, you know, I can get up in the morning and just go to bed earlier.
Okay. Evening is in past midnight.
Sometimes I train quite late at night, so
okay.
I could train late, correct.
If you were to buy takeouts, what would be your go-to? Like, what would be your first choice?
Definitely Domino's pepperoni pizza with gluten-free base. Speed dial, well, it's just the app, and order for Big Kigsy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. And always pepperoni? You never kind
most,
of...
Most, okay, sometimes if I've had it like two in a week... Let's say I'll go.
Two in a week. Oh, yeah, confession time. Hey, this is a different form of confession.
I'm training 3 to 5 hours a day, so, I mean, I think I can... my body responds well to the carbohydrates. So,
okay, yeah. Fantastic. We're hearing a little bit about this training, so what's your favourite sport?
Not so much the one I play all the time. I mean, my main sport's ultimate frisbee, but I do play basketball as well.
Say that again? Your main ultimate frisbee?
Ultimate frisbee, yeah.
What's that?
So it's a team sport, and you think like picture American football without the tackling, bit of basketball, and the purpose is to score in the opponent's end zone.
Okay.
So you're working the disc up. You can run with it if you catch it, and like if you run a straight line, but you're passing between people and you're trying to force people into uncomfortable decisions.
Okay.
And force turnovers.
Cool.
And then you get blocks and stuff. Yeah.
So there's like a whole league in New Zealand.
You got more tournament based stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. And there's professionalism in the USA, of course.
And is that how you relax and switch off, or is something else helps you to chill out? Or is sport that?
I do find training at the like strength and conditioning and stuff enjoyable.
Okay.
But even just watching some shows or playing computer games depends on like. What kind of switching off?
Yep.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. And so you grew up in Timaru, and then after high school, what did you do?
What I did was, didn't know what I wanted to study, so I spent a year working in a warehouse making office furniture, and after 10 months of kind of being bullied, you know, in quite a developmental stage of my life, I was like, no way, I don't want to do this.
Okay.
And I was like, I'm going to study physical education, so that was... what I went and did after that.
Okay, so there's at uni, was it?
Yeah.
Which uni did
University
you end up
Otago.
In? Down in Otago. Awesome. Yeah. Cool. And when in this journey, like, did you get to know Jesus? Did you grow up in a home that introduced you to the Lord? Did you come to know Jesus later in life? When did Jesus become your Lord?
Yeah, good question. So, bit of backstory, like, I'm from a Christian home, and what I'd learn at, like, say, Sunday school and stuff was embodied in how my parents would, you know, live. Particularly mum, she would share kind of what she had learnt in the Word for You Today and share the stories of the Tear Fund child family, you know, would support. And they would always kind of talk about Jesus and stuff. But my life really just did revolve around myself. And my identity was in sport and popularity. And so this kind of wasn't my high school times as well as that gap year. I'd go up on the weekends to Christchurch and we'd get on the piss and... go clubbing and stuff, and when I went to Otago, like, that continued, but So we had clubs week, and the first week, yeah, that's kind of what I continued in. And then after, I was like, come to my senses, I need to get back to training. At the time, I was a triathlete. And one particular Wednesday, this was 2009, and I went out for a training ride, and I had this kind of strong impression in my head that I needed to bring my cell phone and I need it. It was flat at the time, so I quickly charged it, chucked it in my back pocket. Shortly later, maybe 30 minutes, I was coming down, speeding down a hill too fast, and I ended up crashing. And went over my handlebars, come out of my cleats, and I landed on my head. And I mean, the only thing I really could think of was to cry, like, God, please help me. And so immediately felt a sense of peace come over me. Text my friend to come and pick me up, because I thought I had to pay for an ambulance. So he came and was like, no way, we're going to get an ambulance. We're not going to put you in the car. Like, and yeah, so once the scans and x-rays and MRIs were complete, turns out I fractured the first vertebrae. So that's C1.
So you broke your back.
Yeah, and T5, my back as well. It was a compression wedge fracture. Bit of context is, like, your spinal cord's like butter. And if your vertebrae shifts into the spinal cord, like, well, that's kind of the end. Like, no one was there to help me. I would stop breathing and stuff. But it really did get me thinking. And I think the Holy Spirit told me to bring that cell phone. And so from there, I was thankful to be alive. And once I came out of hospital, I connected with there was a Christian group at the university, and they're around New Zealand as well, called Student Life. And
so you're still down in Otago?
I'm still Otago, yeah. I'd been stayed at my mum's cousin's place, and they were really, like, a supportive. It was really good to be there. But coming out, I learned, like, about a story about a guy finding satisfaction in life, not through achievements, but through Jesus. And he was, like, top 2% MIT in the USA, not Mauna Kea Institute of Technology, but... and that story kind of stuck with me.
Uh-huh.
And then he asked, hey, would you like to hear how he came to that decision? I was like, yeah, sure. So he shared, like, how to know God personally. I never quite understood it, even though I'd heard bits and pieces throughout my life. And he was like, you know, God loves you and created you to know him personally.
Yeah.
But you're separated from the Father because of sin, which is just rejecting God, building your life around anything else other than God, and just not caring about him. And then, you know, because of that separation, I'm separated, you know, eternally. And I didn't quite understand before that. And then Jesus is, like, God's only solution. And he loves me. And then through that, God sent him to die on the cross. And through his life, death, and coming back to life, I could know the Father in a personal way. But I needed to choose to do that, put my trust in him and as my own Savior and Lord. And I never quite understood that in context. And it was like, well, kind of, like, believed it a bit, but never, like, I've got a second chance, I'm going to take this seriously.
Wow.
And that's from that point on, yeah.
So it was a bit of a crisis moment, literally kind of coming face to face with death, not death, I'm got a second chance. And in that, the Lord has actually brought you close to him.
Yeah.
And what was something you were aware of has suddenly become more than personal. It's become your life focus.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, that's huge. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks for sharing that. That's massive.
No worries.
And so now, fast forward, you're in Auckland and you're involved with Athletes in Action. So what is Athletes in Action? What are you doing there? Give us some insight, because a lot of us probably don't necessarily know about it. Like, apart from the fact that it's hanging out on the uni campuses, am I right about the location?
Yeah, that's part of it. First I'll take a step back, how I kind of come to that, like, being involved. So through the group I mentioned before, just kind of learnt about having compassion for people that don't know Jesus, like being compelled by, you know, the love of Christ, and how to share my faith with others practically, and mentored and discipled in a community of others that were like-minded as well. And when you go on, like, summer projects and so on, and that kind of led me to a point where it's like, I mean, I could do this as a role.
Okay.
Which I'll share a bit more about.
Yeah,
that.
So after that period of getting to know the Lord, there was this journey of journeying with others, being discipled, learning more about what it means to live this life of faith.
Yeah.
And then that springboarded into where you now find yourself.
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Give us some insight. So Athletes in Action sounds super cool.
Yeah, so taking a step back, like, for a lot of people, sport is God, lowercase g, by the way. And sport can overpromise and underdeliver. So often, like, people make a team one season, then, well, you might not make that same team. And there's often struggles with identity, you know, am I my sport? Like, who am I playing for? Performance, you've got to always meet a standard. And this can create a lot of kind of struggle in a young adult's life. And so we focus on two kinds of athletes in the young adult age ranges, late high school to mid-20s or a bit later than that. And firstly, those that are spiritually curious. So they...
Spiritually what, sorry?
Curious.
Okay, spiritually open. Curious. Yep.
They may not have, like, they might not have any Christian friends, you know, and they're playing on a Sunday. They're not going to come to a church, like, no offense, but they're doing their own thing. But they're open to hear about, you know, a relationship with Jesus and what that could look like for them. And perhaps explore that in a community of other athletes that are following Jesus. Secondly would be those that are, say, they're leaving high school or at high school and they have a choice to make. Do I follow Jesus or just be like anyone else? You know, do I take ownership of my faith and be a part of a community, a Christian community? And those are the two groups.
Okay, so you're kind of present in that transition point from high school through to uni in terms of actually so that faith continues to be put into action in their young adult years.
And even after that, you know, not every athlete goes to university, so working people as well.
And then helping those who are spiritually curious to actually kind of
explore
that.
What's the relationship with Jesus look like?
And is it always with people who are interested in sport?
Sometimes.
What if you're interested in chess? Would you still talk to them?
I mean, we've met with like people that are high-level gamers, you know, so esports. I'd argue, like, I play Age of Empires too. That's a high-level sport, kind of. But then we might pass them on to a sister ministry or ministry that might best suit their needs. But we often will meet people through our sharing on campus that aren't necessarily athletes, that are open to explore.
Yeah. So what does a typical week look like? Are you just spending all week playing sport and talking with your peers, or are you kind of hanging out with, different sports teams? Like, what does it look like? How are you meeting people and doing this?
Yeah, good question. So Mondays is just kind of planning, basically, you know, just organising management. Every morning we have a prayer. But the rest of it is like, sometimes we do a bit of serving with the university sport, and that gives us an entrance to be safe people, legitimacy. We always wear our athletes and action brands, and you can kind of have conversations with the athletes while you're there. That's one part of that. A lot of it's also do a bit of sharing our faith on campus. Some of it we do use sport as a way to do that. It's a bit of a softer approach, so we'll play people, and it's an opportunity for the athletes involved to like live out their faith on the court, point people to Christ, but also we do meet the teams after and give them a Gatorade and explain who we are, who we play for and so on. And if they want to hear more, there's a link tree on the...
Yep.
On the rest of the time is like mentoring guys or discipling.
Yep.
So that's basically a...
Yeah, awesome.
Yeah. And we share to like spiritual questionnaires on campus about faith and sport.
Yeah, so kind of you're handing out, probably not paper, electronic.
Oh, it's more actually approaching people and asking if they wanted to give us some feedback on a survey.
So when you're in a space of sharing your faith with someone, are people instantly coming to faith, or how's this playing out in your experience? So you've been doing this about 10 years?
As a student, like, I was doing stuff like that.
So
sometimes you don't know, like, what's the end outcome.
Okay.
Sometimes you're just part of a journey. With the survey stuff, you sometimes do see people come to faith. And the surveys do segue, so it's like questions like, for instance, I'll share a story about one guy. I won't use his name. Let's call him John. So I was paired up with one of the guys I work with called Jason, and we're about to like be like, all right, we haven't met anyone yet. So approached this guy and asked, hey, it was like, hey, I'm Keegan. This is Jason from Athletes in Action, Christian Sports Club on campus. We're getting people's opinion on faith and sport. Be cool if you give us some feedback. 10 minutes, and he's like, yeah, sure. Turns out he plays hockey. He also studies physics. So a few questions like, you know, how sporty are you, so on, and getting a bit deeper. One of the questions like, have you ever been to a church or religious group, and if so, what's your experience? you know, quite often people like, no, like I've never been.
Yeah. Are you finding that more and more?
More and more, yeah.
Okay.
It's not a bad thing. It just means people have no preconceived ideas.
Okay.
Little or no prejudice to Christianity.
Yeah.
Next one is like, who do you think God is? And then he kind of like said, I've tried to prove it wrong, but I realized that something can't come from nothing. Mm. It's from a physics sort of guy. I was like, wow. And then asked, who do you think Jesus is? And he's like, someone that had a lot of good things to say. Mm. It's quite a remarkable answer. Mm. And later down the track, one of the questions like, if you could ask a Christian anything, like, what would it be? And he was like, why? Why do you believe? Mm. So I was able to answer in two ways, and Jason answered as well. But the first was, I kind of briefly summed up the gospel because I might not be able to share that later. It's like, that's one, why I believe. And then two, I have like purpose and hope and identity. I don't like trying to qualify for sport and teams. You don't always make it, but I have worth in Jesus regardless. Mm. And he cares about me. And then one of the questions like finally is like, if it was possible to know God in a personal way, how would you rate your interest on a scale of 1 to 10? And he was like, heck yeah, 10 out of 10. So we went through the gospel booklet, called Knowing God Personally. And he wasn't ready to put his trust in Jesus, but he was like open to explore that deeper.
Okay.
And so exchange numbers and stuff.
Wow.
Sometimes people are just happy to, so this is quite, actually happens quite a lot, like whether it's with me or another staff like weekly. And that being said, like, people are, the young adults at universities are pretty, like, very open.
Okay.
They often, busyness can get in the way, so they're like, oh, I'm a bit busy to explore it further. So you just put your number, name and number on the back and leave that with them. But if they want to keep meeting up, yeah, for sure, I've got time.
So overall, are you finding that there is an openness in culture and the people that you're meeting to having these conversations?
Yeah. Well, usually because I think they might have had a Christian grandparent two generations ago or been to, like, a Catholic high school or something like that.
Okay.
That's it.
Yeah.
And so they don't have any preconceived ideas.
Yes.
Or prejudice to faith.
Yeah.
If anything, it's just new. And it's an open door.
Fantastic. Yeah, thanks for sharing. And again, just it causes us all to self-reflect about our own journeys and the opportunities and how God may want to use us.
Mm.
So what are some of the challenges in terms of, I mean, you've been doing it for a little while now. You're hanging out on campus. Is this your full-time gig?
And this is my full-time gig.
What are some of the hard parts about it?
Like, so, I mean, first it's a calling and a job, so I also live it out in my own life, sharing my faith, but I'll touch on that shortly. The challenge can be, so probably one is trying to meet with the guys to disciple them.
Okay.
So I've found out some tactics from the people I work with. It's like, message on Friday, follow up on Monday. And sometimes if they don't have time, like, hey, do you want to go to a training session? Then they have time.
Yeah.
I find it really funny they have time to do a training session, but not meet for me with a coffee. Yeah. Other things can be when people are busy and they don't want to keep exploring. It's more like you really hope that, like, because you believe in, you know, in your confidences and who Jesus is and so on, and you want to share that with them, that they don't want to continue. Or when someone goes missing in action, say they pray to receive Christ and they go, like, stop contact.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and that's probably...
So some of the following up and kind of continuing that discipleship journey.
Because it's quite crucial. If someone prays to receive Christ, there's some studies done by the Billy Graham group or institute.
Yeah.
Like, the percentage of those continuing following Jesus after praying to receive Christ decreases significantly the longer you leave it.
Yes, yeah.
Spiritual attack and so on.
Yeah. Awesome. Not awesome, but as in, thank you. Awesome. Thanks for sharing. Good old quip like that. Spiritual attack. Awesome. Come on.
Yeah, make me strong. Yeah.
We've obviously called this series Salt and Light, and kind of looking at different people in terms of being salt and light. Do you see that as kind of some of what you and your team are doing? Are you being salt and light on campus or salt and light in the sports team? Is that kind of part of what's happening in terms of your understanding?
Yes, so that's a good question. Part of like discipling the young men and women we have is how can they serve their team, the people they play with. So we have quite a lot of like student leaders or people involved. And part of that is just like, how can they be compelled by Christ's love for the people they play with? And so for me, I'm playing with people in my own own life that aren't connected with Athletes in Action at all. So that also looks like praying for opportunities to share with them, praying that they're open to Christ and caring about them. Practically, you know, like talking, getting to know them, building rapport,
yep.
Building that sense of trust, and, you know, seeing if they want to meet up for trainings outside of trainings and so on. But also sharing God stories, which are like bite-sized appetizers. So not everyone's ready to hear the gospel straight away. Like, it's a bit easier when you do a survey or our Clubs Week outreach, which would be a similar kind of format. But even the guys that we play with basketball, they're not ready for that. But the little God stories where you share personal story of how Jesus has helped you, you know, share a bit of your feelings and so on. Like, for instance, on Tuesday, I was training at the track and there was one of the guys from the club. He was doing, it was like non-club day.
Is training at track meaning athletics?
Yeah. I was working on, that's also what I do to be faster.
Okay.
Yeah. And so...
To chase those who are running away?
They can chase me. So kind of, this is a guy, he's at high school, like Mags, like Albert Grammer or something. And I was sort of sharing about how, like, I play with, from a motivation, like, you know, Jesus, how he gives me worth and identity. And regardless of how I play, I can, like, you know, have that concrete foundation in him. And he's like, well, that's true. Like, a lot of people, like, they quit sport in high school because they didn't make a team.
Mm.
And they don't ever go back. And I don't even know, like, this is the first time we talked like this, but he brought it up and it connected with him. And so I like to continue that combo. So sometimes it's just the God stories continually like lead to bigger stories.
Mm.
Yeah. But being prepared is pretty big. Like having your stories like rehearsed.
Okay.
And relevant to the person you're speaking all with. Right.
So being prepared in every season to give a reason for the hope you have in Christ.
Yeah. And so do with gentleness, humility and respect. Yeah.
Oh, nice. Man. Awesome.
Peter, yeah.
We're having a quoting challenge here.
Yeah.
Okay, next
flex
one.
It.
You're a little bit competitive. That's not a surprise. Yeah, I love the God story reflection. I tend to find in my life, you know, most conversations you catch up with someone's new, or what do you do? Oh, I'm a pastor. And that immediately is like the icebreaker.
Either the
conversation just goes, vroom, or it opens up. So it becomes a springboard. So.
Yeah, similar, like I say, I'm in sports ministry, and then they're like, what's that?
Yeah.
And then, you know, help athletes bring faith to sport. And then
totally.
But for the other guys, the God stories is pretty, you just kind of share it. You almost don't really ask for permission. You just be like, hey, this is, they're like, how are you? And then you're like, hey, this is what's been going on. And then share how Jesus has given you, helped you in some way,
Got two more questions just to wrap up. Like, what encouragement would you give for everybody here? Everyone's in different spaces in life in terms of the journey of being salt and light, the journey of actually the Great Commission. Like, what encouragements for people in terms of their own faith walks? Because not everyone is going to end up being working for Athletes in Action, but maybe some people do. But
I mean, I've been kind of trained. Like, sometimes I don't really want to share my faith, particularly the survey stuff, but that's when I ask Jesus for, like strength and speak through me.
Okay, so you're experiencing sometimes hesitation.
Lord,
help me cross that.
Yeah, all for right, real, for that's sure. true. Sometimes I'll try and avoid it, but can't really.
Yeah.
But asking for him to give me confidence and speak through me, that's huge. So being compelled by, like, Jesus' love, like, you really want people to know the hope that you have. And I think the more confident you get in who you are and the person of Jesus, the easier it is to sort of share. Because it's his cause, it's not mine.
Yeah.
It's not about me. And then I can kind of like, it's not like I'm shifting blame, but you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, totally. There's such a freedom there. When I kind of feel a little bit overwhelmed, I'm like, I'm just a servant. It's not my church or body of Christ.
Yeah.
It's his. I will just do my bit.
Yeah.
And that gives a freedom, that kind of understanding.
Yeah. If they reject you, you know, it's not you they're rejecting.
Yeah.
But ultimately, my identity is in the person Jesus. But yeah, like kind of being motivated by like compassion, love for other people, and additionally praying for opportunities as well. Yeah, that's what I'd encourage people with.
Yeah, this is super helpful.
But be prepared with stories. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like don't have to be long, but just being prepared is you just fish them out when you need to.
Yeah. Yeah. So they're close to the heart. You've already kind of thought about them. That's great. You've blessed us by sharing some of your journey, your story, and what you're doing. If people want to know more in terms of what you're up to, connect more with Athletes in Action, I know that we've got a slide here, but you can kind of maybe speak to that in terms of if people want to connect more with what you're doing.
Thanks for that. So I've got a QR code up here, so welcome you to scan that. On there is, well, there's also our Instagram handle, so if there's an athletes here and they want to follow us on Instagram, that kind of connects with what we do on campus, not a supplement. The other one's our website.
Your what? Oh, your website.
Our website's on there, but also on there is like how I'm full-time and able to continue to serve young adult athletes is I develop a team of people that like financially back what I do and pray. Like, so if this like warms your heart and you feel encouraged and want to be a part of that, there's a link that says ministry partner. So I raise a personal team, and there's a form and you can put your name and best contact, and I can get in contact with you and invite you to consider being part of what I'm doing. And I can't do it without people's help and people praying and financially supporting as well.
Awesome. Yeah, there if you want to connect. And I think you're hanging around afterwards if you people want to chat and catch up and get to know you a bit. So thank you so much for sharing. Absolute blessing. I'm going to pray and pray for you as well while the worship team comes up. We're going to close up. Cool. You look like you wanted to say one more thing. Would you just kind of hang on?
Because you were going to ask why I do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did I not ask why you
do
it?
No, you didn't. Just so we have time.
Hey, bro, why are you doing that?
Oh, yeah, thanks. Well, going back, like, I could have, like, done other jobs, working in the secular world. But after, like, experiences and, like, don't have the opportunity to share, I can count 3.5 years of work or probably outside of what I'm doing, probably had maybe 7 conversations. Mm. That'd be one of them. But kind of blending what's my natural talents, my studies as physical education and, like, RIS, and personality, but also my spiritual gifts, natural talents and spiritual gifts, where are they best stewarded?
Mm.
And then even recently, I realized that globally, a lot of mission schools are closing down, and even projects uptakes are getting decreased, like summer mission projects. And I think that's because of a value, or cultural value of financial security passed down.
Okay.
And so people don't want to do that thing. But if I look at that passage where Jesus, looks upon the multitudes and has compassion for them because they're harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd, and then he's like, says to the disciples, like, the harvest is bigger than you can imagine, but there are a few workers. Pray to the Lord the harvest to send out more workers in the harvest field. Like, I want to reach guys like I was.
Yeah.
Or indirectly, young adult ladies as well. Like I was in my first year of uni.
Mm.
Lost and not really knowing what's going on.
Outstanding.
So that's why I do what I do.
Yeah. I'm glad you remembered to say why. But, yeah, again, that's another example of the ripple effect, the passing on the baton, the motivation, because you're blessed as you come to know Jesus, and you're like, I want to pass that blessing on. I mean, what more motivation could there be than, man, it is so good knowing the Lord. Let's bring more people into that understanding. I'm going to pray just for us and for you, and the worship team can come up and we can just celebrate what the Lord is doing amongst us. Mm. Oh, Father, I'm encouraged by what we have heard this morning, and I just start by just praying just a blessing on Keegan and the work that he's doing with Athletes in Action. I just thank you for his faithfulness over all these years, and I just pray that you continue to encourage and strengthen him for the work in this season. Each decade, each year, culture shifts, things are different, and we need to respond to that. So I pray that you give him wisdom as he responds to the needs at this time, Lord. I pray that he is constantly encouraged by seeing the fruit. Give him a glimpse of it. We don't have to see the fruit. We just need to plant the seeds, but I know sometimes seeing the fruit's an encouragement. So I pray that you give him those moments of encouragement. I just pray, Lord, that more people come to know you through his faithfulness, and I pray that you send more workers out into the harvest fields for Athletes in Action and in all the other fields that need people at this time. So, Lord, work amongst us here today to mobilize us into the places that you need us, whether that is taking the light from under the bowl, sending us out, or faithfully continuing what we're already doing. We pray for more of your kingdom here on earth. We pray for your will to be done, and we pray that we are faithful and excited and contagious in passing on the knowledge of who you are to many. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.